Happy Father's Day. And here we are in our Father's house this morning. The idea of being planted, today I want to talk about being planted in God's church. Where we learn most about our family, and I thought about this as a dad, is in our home. And it's the things that we teach our children, how to behave, how to do things. Where do we learn that as children of God? It's in the church. And the church is so important. And so as I begin to think of the church, I begin to think of, you know, Jesus calls it his body. It's the body of Christ. Paul talks about how we're all different members of the body and we all work together for the good of the kingdom. And so my idea growing up of church was always, it was a place where you went to. Oh man, we got to get ready for church. Oh, we got to go to church. We got to go to church. And if you think of church that way, then it's really easy to say like, oh wow, you know, today is Father's Day. You know what? Let's go have a picnic at the lake. Sorry, Siri, I wasn't talking to you. Has that ever happened to y'all? Mine's not a smart watch, it's a smart aleck watch. And anyway, the idea of I can be there or I don't have to be there because it's just a building. It's just a place where we go. And I'll see those people again sometime, you know, that kind of thing. But if you think of how Jesus thought of the church as his body and how the early people gave their lives, the early fathers gave their lives for this idea, then it becomes much more than just a building that we go to. This is our family. When Jesus was 12 years old and his mom and dad were halfway home and they were looking for him, they said, whoa, where's Jesus? I thought you had him. No, Mary, I thought you had him. Joseph, come on, don't be like that. They go back. What's he doing? He's sitting in the temple teaching. And they said, where have you been? We've been looking for you. And he says, I have to be about my father's business. Another time he is teaching in a home and the disciples say, hey, your mother and your brothers are here. And he looks at them and says, who is my mother and brothers? It's those that do the will of my Father. In other words, Jesus said, yeah, it's important to have our family, our kids and our wives and our husbands and things like that, but it's even more important to have this family of God. He's given us a new name, a new family, a new home. And if we think about it that way, then the church overarches everything. I want to share just a couple scriptures with you today. The first one is from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And this is Paul writing in Romans, and he's saying, then we form this body here. But we're not just part of this body here. We are part of this universal body of Christ that stretches to Poland and the Czech Republic, to Ukraine, to Africa, to Ecuador, to all of these places, because we are united under the name and banner of Jesus Christ. And that is our family. Another scripture, Paul writes in Galatians, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, listen, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There's that idea of now this family is important. And if we think about the persecuted church, we have the thing over there and we pray for them every November. But this persecuted church, there are people that are giving their lives to Christ and they are being cut off from their nuclear family. Fathers are turning their back saying, we don't want anything to do with you anymore because you turned your back on our religion and you're worshiping this Jesus guy. And to them, they are willing to put up with this hatred, oftentimes violence, and they put up with it because this family of God is so much more. It's eternal. It's eternal. Another verse, and I'm going to go to the Old Testament for this. These are in the Psalms. This is Psalm 68. God is a father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. In other words, God is giving us a family where he is saying, you know what? You're alone? No, you're not alone. You're mine. You're mine. He goes on to say in verse 6, God sets lonely, he takes the lonely and sets them in families, and he leads forth the prisoners with singing. And then the last verse I want to share with you is Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. You get that, Melvin? You'll bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." In other words, if we are planted in his family, if we are planted in God, then we will bear fruit as we do his will. And I believe that the Bible teaches us the value of being planted and the value of being in this spiritual family. See, we live in a world that's disconnected. We live in a world that at times seems separated and isolated. We live in a world that feels uprooted from anything that is solid. I have these interesting conversations on Sunday mornings after praise and worship, in that sometimes before I can get to Sunday school or before I finish trying to get stuff ready for the thing, I have some people come into my office and we share some interesting conversations. Most of the time I just listen because it's like, And there's this collider or something that's over in Switzerland or something like that. Anyway, it's, you know, the what is it? Yeah, the particle accelerator or whatever. Something like off of Star Wars. But anyway, there is a theory being posited out there that once it started, it put us in an alternate dimension. And before you shake your head, you know, because when as they were sharing this, I'm sitting there going like, yeah, right. But then the article that they were kind of quoting from went on to say, once they turned that on, notice how everything turned upside down in our world. Things that were not acceptable now are acceptable. Things that you were never thought you would see, you see almost every day. And so I'm sitting there as I'm listening to this thinking, is there any way we could turn that thing off? Or can we get it to spin backwards or something? So, you know, I know we're not living in this alternate reality, but we are living in a time where things are upside down. But God's word tells us to be planted, to stay firm, and he puts in us a longing to belong, to be known, to know him and to be known. We were not meant to be alone and do life alone. And so many times we go to ourselves and we look down and say, well, no one understands what I'm going through. No one knows the trouble I've seen. No one knows this. I'm the only one going through this. That is not true. And God has given us a family that will love you and pray with you and pray for you and lift you up. And when you are weak, they'll be strong. I mean, if there was anybody in history that could have gone solo, it would have been Jesus. I mean, he didn't need anything. He didn't need advice from anybody. He didn't need any wisdom. He was God. And so as he's here, he still made it a point to say it's important to connect. It's important to have a family. And he put together 12 really dysfunctional people. Got a couple fishermen. He got a tax collector. He started bringing in some people, you know, just bringing in people. And so as people looked at this motley crew, these aren't learned men. These aren't smart. Why didn't you go get some people out of the temple that kind of know the scriptures and things like that? And Jesus put together this new family that went out and began to set the world on fire. Not right away. He was continuing to pour into them. And he brought these disciples into his life, and he created this sense of family. Now, in my life, I haven't always made great decisions. Okay, I'll be honest and tell you that. I know a lot of you think that I always make great decisions, but I don't. But I can think of three decisions in my life that I've done really, really well. And the first one was when I made a decision as a senior in high school to give my life to Christ. Now, let me say that before I was a senior in high school, I was always in church. I mean, every time the doors were open to the church, again, I saw the church as a place we went to. Oh, the church is open. We got to be there Wednesday night for dinner. We got to be there for Bible studies. We got to be there for Sunday school. We got to be there for youth fellowship. We got to be there, blah, 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 over and over and over. And it was just a place and an activity. I didn't see it as the body of Christ. And so it was just a place. So it wasn't important. If I needed to miss, I would miss. In fact, as I was growing up, I was a Methopresba Baptist. You know, it's like wherever my girlfriend was, that's what I was for the week. You know, if I was dating a Baptist girl, somehow you go to the Baptist church one time, somehow you start getting mail, and you are now a member of that church. It's crazy. But I grew up in the Methodist church and then went to the Presbyterian church, and it just my life was just kind of crazy like that. But when I was a senior in high school, we went off to a retreat. And when we were away from all of the distractions of this crazy world, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and really melted my heart. Took away the stones, took away everything. And I saw Jesus for the very first time in my life. I was no longer worshiping the God of my parents. And by that, I mean, you know, my mom and dad were believers. They were always in church. They had their kids always in church. But I just kind of saw it as, okay, this is like old people stuff, you know, until the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. So that was the first important decision, to become a Christ follower. And it overshadowed everything else in my life. The second best decision I ever made is when I said yes, when Margie asked me to marry her. And so... As a matter of fact, I'll share this with you too. I loved Margie before she loved me. And in fact, I was in love and she was in like. And I would say, like, I love you. And she goes, well, I like you. And there's nothing worse to your spirit when someone says, oh, well, I like you. Or you say, I love you. And they go, well, that's nice. But finally, Margie's eyes opened and she caught the whole package, right? And I asked her to marry me, and she said yes. And that second decision was the best thing that ever happened, because it's given me a partner in life that we are in covenant with one another, and we are able to celebrate and worship God together and pour into our family. And so accepting Christ and then marrying Margie has been these key points in my life. But the third smart decision I ever made was to become part of a local body of believers, to be part of a church. See, when I was in high school, you know, we would look at our church, but that was something like, okay, the old people here, they're going to do this, but man, youth, we're going to do this. But you know what? On Thursday night, we got Youth Ranch, and so we're going to go have church over there. And so sometimes there was a danger of the youth being one church and the rest of the church being separate, and that's not how God wanted it to be. And so I would go to different places, again, usually with my girlfriend or some friends, and we would go, and then they found out, oh, you play the guitar, so next thing I know, I'm doing John Denver stuff up on the stage or whatever with some of them. But the idea was that I wasn't really connected to a local body of believers. And so when Margie and I landed at the Presbyterian Church, part of it was, well, Paul, you're being hired as staff, and so you're saying, like, yeah, that's why you became a member of the church. No, I never really joined the church where I became an employee until one time Margie and I were praying about it, and I said, I feel God calling me to join the church. And so we joined that Presbyterian church, and we started a children's ministry, and we started some different ministries at that church, and it became like our love. And we had this van, we called it the party van. We went to go get a new car, and they were saying, like, oh, you don't qualify, but this conversion van, you qualify for that. And I was like, how does that even work? But you push a button and the couch goes down to a bed in the back, and there's lights around like this. And we would go through the neighborhood and we'd pick up the kids all in our neighborhood, and we would take them to the church. And being part of that church gave me and Margie and our family a sense of belonging. It's like, yeah, we're going to be there, not because of things that we have to do. We're going to be there because we want to be there. We want to see what God is doing. We want to see what God is saying. We want to see God moving in His power. And the only way you really see that is in the church. If you're thinking like, hey, Paul, can I be a Christ follower and not be a member of a local congregation? You're not going to last. You're not going to last. We've had this discussion with those of you online, and I'm glad you're joining us online. But if you take, let's say, during the holidays, and you put on that video of a fireplace, and it's got the sound. It sounds like wood crackling, and you see this beautiful fire that you can't ever really build one like that, you know. But it's this beautiful fire with these colors in it, and you hear the crackling. There's no heat because it's on your TV. And while it's going, you're walking around distracted like, oh, I got to do this. Oh, man, there's dust up here. Hey, do you need some water? Do you want some hot tea? And you're busy doing other things. You're not caught there. But if you are in the fire, or if you are at a campground and you are sitting around the fire, you're experiencing the heat. You're experiencing the fellowship with the people around. And it is a whole different experience. And so for those of us that are here today, thank you for being here today, because you are getting the heat. And you are experiencing fellowship with one another, because that's the way God set it up. So the first decision, accepting Christ, Margie marrying me, and then being part of a local church. So why is it important for us to be part of a local church? And I want to kind of talk about the results of being planted in the family of God. The first thing, it builds your beliefs. How do we know what we believe? I mean, you turn on the news today, and depending on which one you're watching, you're going to get this slant or you're going to get this slant. Somewhere in the middle is the real news, and we miss it because we're getting opinions here and we're getting opinions here. Where are you going to get the truth about God and who He is and what He's done? In the church, in a good Bible church. A church that's going to open up the scriptures and is going to wrestle with the difficult text, is going to pray over the text, is going to say, you know, this is what it says. I don't get it. I don't know why they did this. I don't know why God said this. I don't know why they did that. But we struggle with those things together and we learn together. It's iron sharpening iron. And so it builds our beliefs, what we believe. What do we believe about the culture? Well, it can be found in here. God said this. I know our culture says this is okay, but God says no. That's an abomination. That's not okay. Well, the Bible says, our society says this. You can do whatever. The Bible says no. Now you're going after the spirit of your flesh. And if you're going after what the world is, then you hate Christ, because the world hates Christ. So where do we learn those truths? Where do we learn these things? And I'm not talking about indoctrination, because there are a lot of churches maybe out there that are teaching you not the Bible. They're teaching you kind of a para-Bible alongside the Bible. It's like, yeah, we'll throw the Bible in there, but we're going to throw this book in too. Hey, read this. It's going to make you wiser. It's like you can have Jesus and this, and your life is going to be much better. When the Bible tells you no, that's not the way it works. So it gives you a place to build up your beliefs, to learn what we are. My beliefs today that I have, I'm able to pass down to my family, the next generation. Now I'm passing down to my grandchildren. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And that's the first thing our beliefs are built on. The second thing is important. It gives us a place to belong. How many of us just want to be known? We want to be loved. We want to be appreciated. We want to be recognized. We all have this desire, you know, we don't want to be just cast away, to feel left out. Our men's group, we divided, the first time we went through it, we had like 18 people in the room. It was like we were sitting on top of each other. And, you know, so what we did this next time, we took half here and half up there. And so I asked Steve, I said, well, Steve, was I the last one picked? And Steve goes, yeah, you were the last one picked. No one wants to be the last one picked, right? You don't want to be left out. You don't want to be alone. You want to belong. You want people to know you. You want people to love you. You want people to surround you. You want people to say, you know what? I'm there for you. What's going on in your life? Oh, I'm fine. No, you're not. Tell me what's going on. I don't want this for gossip. I want this because I care about you. Isn't that awesome? That there are people here that love you and want to pray for you and want to hold you and say that they will walk this journey with you. I believe that there are many today who need that sense of belonging. You don't know where you belong. Maybe your real family has kicked you out. They don't want anything to do with you. Maybe some of your friends that you've spent some time with, maybe the people at work, you feel like an outcast there. You don't have a sense of belonging. And so the church gives you a place where everybody belongs. I believe in us here at Three Point. You find it in God's house. You say, again, can't I just be a believer and not really belong? No. No. You won't do it for long. It's hard to believe and not belong in a family because there's so much out there in our world, so much out there that's going to hit you and hammer you every single day that's going to try to unravel the threads of your faith. I believe in God, and I believe in God's house. And the third thing, it helps us to become all that God wants us to be. We talk about being conformed and transformed. We talk about being molded into the very image of Christ. We talk about all of these things because God is shaving away the dross, and He is shaping us to become lights and salt. He's shaping us to be kingdom people, people that are not afraid to go into the world and lovingly spread the truth of the gospel of Christ. He's telling us to be planted in His Word. Right here at Three Point, you can learn to be all that God wants you to be. It's in His Word. We talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we talk about the peace and kindness and gentleness and all of that stuff. It's where we learn to become all that, is in the church and in fellowship with one another. The church makes us better prayers. I don't know nothing about praying. Hey, guess what? I didn't either. But you know what? You start doing it, and all of a sudden it happens. We become better prayers. We become better worshipers. Man, I was up here, like I had those goosebumps going up there when y'all were singing at the top of y'all's lungs on House of the Lord, and when y'all were singing Waymaker, Miracle Worker, and man, I just wanted to stop. In fact, I think I did stop a couple times. But just to hear God's people becoming better worshipers. You become more giving, more loving, more temperate, more understanding. Where do you learn that? You learn that at home from your teenage kids running around the house? No. You learn that at your work when your boss is coming at you at deadlines and saying, why aren't you answering your emails and all this other stuff? No. I want to encourage you today, do not do life alone. Don't go through life in isolation. Don't think you can make a deal with God. All right, God, I got you. I got Jesus. That's all I need. I don't need the church. I don't need people. Don't be like that. I think about sometimes when I'm going through the 200 million channels that are on TV and there's nothing on and you just kind of keep doing this because you're just zoned out for a minute, you know. All of a sudden you find the nature channel and you see like these lions sitting over here, and you see this herd of wildebeest, and they're just running around. And then there's Dave, the one wildebeest, that kind of lets the other wildebeest go, and Dave just kind of sits there. And I can speak wildebeest, so I know who it was. So Dave's over there, and he starts doing his own thing. He's going, oh, look, there's a butterfly. Oh, look, there's a lily. Oh, look, there's a whatever. Oh, look, there's a lion. And he's become separated from the herd. And what happens? The lion grabs him, and you see him doing that, and then you see the rest of the wildebeest come over there trying to save Dave, but sometimes it's too late for Dave, and that's the way our enemy works. In fact, the scripture says that our enemy prowls like a roaring lion seeking to devour, right? And that's how a lion devours. He waits till you are separated, till you're depressed, till you're feeling isolated and alone. And once you're there, that's when he strikes, putting doubt in your mind, putting thoughts in your mind, and starting to get you to believe some of the truths of the world when that's so far from the truth. So what is the church? What is the church? Is it just a building that we come to? Is it a place that we say like, oh, yeah, we've got some nice things here and it's okay if we go somewhere else? Or is the church the body of Christ? I kind of heard it put this way, and Sandra said, don't say that, but I'm going to say it and try not to screw it up. That God and Jesus over, that is everything that we do. Everything that we do comes under that umbrella. Even marrying Margie, it's still under that umbrella of Christ, because we entered into a covenant relationship in the presence of God and witnesses and everything to say that we are going to become one, we're going to do life together. So that's all there. But if I look at my points here and why the church is so important as the body of Christ, the family of God, it's so important. Why is it not that important? For some people, on Sunday morning, it's more, we're being told by society, like, oh, you know what? We got baseball tournaments. And if you drive by Jonesboro High School on a Saturday morning and Sunday morning, there'll be little kids over there playing baseball tournaments. Because God's church is not really important. Or their church is not the body here. It's not the body where we gather. The church is the golf course. The church is the lake. The church is a vacation somewhere. The church is, you know, because the church will always be there. Well, let me tell you something. The church will not always be here. There's going to be one time we're going to be caught up in the air, and I can't wait for that day, and we pray that it comes soon more and more. But right now, the church is the body of Christ. It's the force that moves in this world, and we all need to be a part of that body. Father, I just pray this morning that we would be the people that you want us to be, that we would be the church, that we would rise up and be the church of God here in this place, that we would not be afraid to confront culture, that we would share the truth in love, that we would love our neighbors as we love ourselves and as Christ loved us. But Father, we would still not shy away from the truth, that we would be planted in the truth, in your word, and that we would be planted in the house of God as we do life together. And Father, we pray all of this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.